RSM Central's Form Express.
Joining us now is my guest, our Metro Form Express expert here looking at the Melbourne racing. And, of course, it's a big Group 1 meeting there at Caulfield. And my guest joins us now. Good morning to you, Guesty.
How you doing, Gareth?
Good, thank you. Your confident levels?
I think early on it looks pretty good, but later on it gets really hard from race 6 onwards.
All right, then where do we start with your specials? I would imagine it would be probably race 1 or 2.
Yeah, race two. Yes. Yeah, I do like the guess a little bit most fun, but the pandemic is my pick in race. Race number two is fresh. It's had a couple of trials, so it's ready for this. It goes well first up on a firm track. It races well. It's 1100 metres suits so well for it, and it's the way it's been going. I can see it running well, and it's won at Caulfield. It runs the Christmas Stakes, so I think it'll be very hard to beat. Pandemic, race two, number four, 4:40.
All right, then. So, pandemic for Godolphin. Then where do we go, Guesty?
The Caulfield Guineas Prelude with Lightsaber. It's had the two runs back, both over shorter, 1,100, 1,200, up to 1,400. It's pet distance. It'll be well-suited. It has raced well at Caulfield. Without winning, it has raced particularly well. So, 1,400 is the ideal situation there with Lightsaber. 650 at the moment. I think it's a good price. Race four, number two.
Yep, great each-way price there. Luke Dolan and Peter Moody combining with Lightsaber. And the final of your specials, Guesty?
It has drawn out, but I've been impressed all along with this colt. Ram Veer from the Matt Laurie stable, Luke Curry. It's only had a couple of starts. It ran second to Profiteer on debut down the straight at Flemington and then went to Sandown and won on a wet track. But I was quite taken by its recent jump out, bolted in over 1,000 metres, and it looks ready to go. So I can see it running super. Ran there, 4:60, race five, number three. And a couple of each way galpers late in the day who were well over their odds. I think Poland in the main race, the Rupert Clark, it's currently $26. And Chassis in the last, $13. I think they're over there, what their price should be.
So you can get, as you pointed out, $26 for Poland for Mike Moroney and Nugent. And, of course, in that last race, Chassis, Johnny 13. Price and Mickey D, $13.390, Guesty.
You put them in your multiples, quaddies, or whatever you want to do. But I think those two should run a pretty good race because I think also in the Rupert Clark, I'm pretty keen on a few of the lightweights. With only 52 kilograms, I think a lot of them should run well.
So you're talking about horses like, if I'm Thunderstruck gains a start, you need to add him. Horses like Regards Marie and Dice Roll.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Dice Roll will run particularly well. He's drawn to settle, midfield around that sort of position or even forward of that. And if he gets that sort of the right run, he can run a very good race. And he's currently 16. Around $16. I think also you must take note of Amish Boy.
Yes.
Amish Boy, look at some of his performances. He did run third in Group 1, so he's pretty handy.
How do you think the track will play?
Well.
How do you think the track will play?
Normally on this day, you've got to be reasonably handy. Like it's just been up there. But I think tempo and wind will determine a lot of things. So I know you get people out there saying the wind's not a big factor. But it certainly is. I can remember a day at Flemington a few years ago where there was a strong headwind and no jockey wanted to lead into it because once you lead into it, you're finished.
Yep.
So it does play a big part. I suppose it depends on how much wind we do get.
You're a good man, Guesty. I wish you the best of luck and we'll catch up with you next week.
Go for it, mate.
There's my guest there. Let's hear from some of the major players ahead of this meeting at Caulfield. Scotty Brunton will be sending around his star Tasmanian mare, Haller, in the first race.
She's in good order. Look, she had a soft trial last Tuesday at Stall. She was really good. Had a good grass gallop yesterday morning at Ballarat. I couldn't be happier with the way she's come through that.
Can she win on Saturday?
Yeah, she'll be very hard to beat.
Pride of Jenny represents Simon Wilde in the first race.
She is a good horse on a day. She's quite talented and, I think she'll run very well. I think 1,400 to a mile might be where, she's probably at her best. And this run will definitely top her off for that. But, I think she can pull a run out fresh and she's reasonably fit. So, again, if she gets a nice run in the race, it wouldn't surprise us here run very well.
Here's Trent Busson and talking about the chances of River Plate in the Guineas prelude, of course, the former New Zealander.
It doesn't appear to be the strongest edition of a prelude, does it? You know, there's no standout in there. So if he gets a nice opportunity, but he profiles as a good horse. He's a big, strong, impressive horse. He eats very well and he's just straightforward. So we've got a nice gait and certainly I think he's good enough to run very well in it.
General Bo looks tough to beat in the Pinch of Poo Plate, which is race 5 over the 1,000. Here's Simon Zara, his co-trainer.
I think we might see a good bounce back from General Bo tomorrow. Back to the 1,000, good speed, a bit fitter now. And I think the 1,200 just saw him out a little bit second up. So I just think back to the 1,000 is going to be the key for him.
Island Edition was impressive on debut at Ballarat. This is a little harder in race 5 there at Caulfield. Let's hear from his trainer, Philip Stokes.
He's got a good barrier here on that day. He won't be getting as far back. And he's still very raw, this horse, but he's got talent. His gallop here on Tuesday was really good with one of my older horses. And Benny Allen came and galloped him, and he couldn't have been more happy with the way the horse is trained on from his first up win.
Here's Philip Stokes once again talking about a maid, which is the former European galloper for OTI that's had an impressive start to his career here in Australia. He's had a spell since. Let's hear from Philip Stokes and the way that he's come back.
He's trialled up good. His work's been good. We haven't obviously got him screwed down for first up, right up. He's going to improve on that day's run, but I think he'll be definitely a top four champ.
Charlie Rose has been well backed in that race, the Foundation Cup, which is race number 7. Here's Simon Wild.
Yeah, funnily enough, I don't think she's ever run over 2,000 metres, but I think, obviously that little bit of a step up in trip is perfect. Second up, I think she's got the benefit of that run under her belt. She's got a good barrier. I'm really happy with her. She's, she's a lot bigger and stronger this time. And she's coping with the work a lot better as well. She's eating really well. And so I'm really pleased with the horse. And, I think if she gets a good run, I think she can definitely win the race.
Here's Jamie Richards on Probabil.
She has a big, strong mare that's carried weight before. It's really up to her to get out of the barriers cleanly and be able to take up a position. Hopefully she can lob in the first six without having to do too much work and get a little bit of luck early in the run home from the 600 onwards. But she's as good as we can have her. And Ashley Henley, who's looking after and has done for the last couple of years, is very happy with her.
Yeah, she'll be hard to beat in the Sir Rupert Clark. So will Behemoth for David Jolly.
I actually prefer when he draws low a bit. Some of his better runs have come from low draw where he's probably got sort of smothered up. With that little bit more pace, like in the race tomorrow that looks to be on paper, you've got to trust that hopefully the inside's not is the place to be and then they get a bit of luck coming off the fence.
Here's Mike Moroney on Buffalo River.
If he does fly the gates, and jumps where he wants to get running, you better off letting him do that. If he's willing to take a sit, would be ideal. But it just really, really depends on him and how fresh he is. He's got a good first up record, and so hence why we decided to go into it first up. So, by the time you give him a run, he usually wants to go a mile. So that's why we keep on in the fresh state for this race and just see how we go.
Trent Busson on Sierra Sue.
But imagine she's going to be 3 deep. She's certainly not going to be unlucky on the fence like she was at Moonee Valley.
Mm.
I guess ideally just midfield 3 deep with cover. And with 52.5 on her back, I suppose she can afford to, get off and around them a bit at the half mile. Sort of in the Lawrence, John Allen, he popped her out early enough of that day. She was sort of 4 deep whipping around them from the 600. So we'll leave it up to Daniel ultimately, but I guess she's, like say, she's got 52.5. She's going to be able to afford to do a little bit of work at some stage.
Dice Rolls first up in the Sir Rupert Clark for Nick Ryan.
We trialled him over half mile, just keeping short and sharp, and he was very good through the line, and Reece McLeod, our stable jockey, rode him, and he was very, very happy with him, as was I when he came back. So he's fresh up that day, gets in on the minimum 52 kilos, and he's drawn ideally in Barrier 7 with Fred Tursley going aboard. So All going well. He gets a good run. He'll present, and hopefully he's there for a long way.
And Nick Ryan also has Regards Marie in the Group 1.
I think he's drawn perfectly out in 11 as well. We can attempt to ride him a bit colder, and even if we're a little bit deep with a bit of cover, and just use his turn of foot, because when he does relax, that he's a get-back, run-on type of horse, and if he can get a few breaks on Saturday, hopefully he can be finishing hard.
So that's, you just heard from most of the major players for that Caulfield meeting. Tomorrow should be a beauty there at the Heath. Talking about sensations, here's Michael Maxworthy to preview the Gold Coast meeting tomorrow afternoon in Queensland. Hello to you, Michael.
Hello, Gareth. We've got an excellent card at the Gold Coast tomorrow. It's the Big Pink Ribbon Cup Day, fundraising for breast cancer. And I think Tony Gollum is the stable to follow tomorrow. He's got quite a few short price favourites, but I think if you stick with him tomorrow, you'll finish on the right side of the ledger.
Where do we start with your specials, Maxie?
All right, well, race 3, number 5. Now, this one is trained at the Sunny Coast, a horse called the QS. Now, his effort last start against quite a few horses that are lining up against him here that finished ahead of him that day. But I think the circumstances of this race will give him the edge, the QS. He sort of hesitated. He was on a quick backup last start at Eagle Farm, hesitated and had to go about 8 wide where some of the horses that finished ahead of him cut the corner. And I think from barrier 2, a better start, I think he's the way to go. He's $4.80. We can play him each way. That's 3-5, the QS, at around the 4.8. Then in race 4, number 8, The Move, trained by Tony Gollum. He's won his past 3. He's graduating to open handicap for the first time, but this sets up perfectly. A lot of Queensland's fastest horses are lining up here. And from barrier 1 with the minimum weight, he's going to sit a couple of lengths off them, hit to the outside, and I think he'll finish strongly. And then in the last, race 9, number 2, Run for Glory, also trained by Tony Gollum. I think the key point with him is the claim for Leah Kilner, the 3 off. He's 3rd up. His 2 runs back have been terrific. He's got a good gait. He likes it here at the Gold Coast. He's around about $3. That's 9-2, Run for Glory. So in summing up, Gareth, 3-5 to QS at 460, 460, 480. 4-8 The Move, about $2.20, and 9-2 Run for Glory on cab at the moment is around about $3.10. So they're the 3 that I like tomorrow for Aquas Park Gold Coast.
We know that Robbie Heathcote could probably train you to win a marathon these days, Maxie, but it would be some training performance if he could produce Roth 5 first up in the shorts against that field.
Yes. He's like the little boy with the wheelbarrow. It's going to be tough for him tomorrow. First time out of racing against his own age. It's been a year. We know that was a nasty injury that he's had. All of the signs are there. He's been able to pick up where he left off. But this is a different ball game altogether. Running against these seasoned, tough sprinters. Some of them, no doubt, amongst the best sprinters in the world that he's going to be lining up against tomorrow. I'll be cheering for him, and I'll be hoping, but I'll be just sitting back and watching just to see where he fits in against some of these, you know, really classy sorts. If he does it, well, we know we've got something very, very special for the future.
Good on you, Maxie. Enjoy the Gold Coast.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
Hey, Maxie, just quickly, do you have a special for us at Eagle Farm, or is that too much to ask for?
No, it's never too much to ask. I do like a couple today. You know that I've got that Tony Brassell rule of, you know, reluctant to make a good thing,
yes,
a middle distance race, but I broke the rule about 2 weeks ago and it got up. A horse called London Banker, who's been really good. So I've just put that rule to the side and we're going with a 2200 metre race today. Race 3, number 5, Luna Smith,
yep,
about 220, should win. And a first starter in race 4, number 8, called Shalar King. He's got a bit of an awkward gait with the rail out to Billy O today, but I think he could be well above average. So 3-5 Luna Smith. And 4-8, shout out to Eagle Farm.
Love your work, Maxie. Thanks for that. Metro Form Express with Gareth Hall. We're heading up to Sydney to catch up with Ronnie Duffer. See, g'day, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Well, good afternoon, Gareth.
Terrific meeting there at Royal Randwick. Where do we start with your best bets, mate?
Races 2, 6 and 10. Looking for a little bit of value in this meeting. I think race 2, number 5, Kiss the Bride's got a terrific hope here. I know he's been big odds at his 2 runs back, a 30-1 and a 40-1 chance, but both his runs have been excellent. I think he's an adaptable type. I think he can find the 1-1 here, and he's ready to go at this Randwick Mile. I've got no doubt about it, third up. So race 2, number 5, Kiss the Bride. I think we can move along to race number six. And the first thought was, oh, this is going to be impossible, this race. But the theory is the T-Rose Stakes. But the more I look at it, the more I think Mallory's the winner, number four. She showed nice consistency the two runs back. She was off the track the other day, and she was strong to the line, looking, to my eye, the best 1,400-metre horse. And with barrier one here, Collett can put her in a closer position. I think she's very hard to beat. In fact, I think she's the better of the day. Race six, number four, Mallory. And won a double-figure odds in the last, a hard race, but number five, Lord Olympus, is trialling the house down. A lot of speed in this race. I think he camps up two lengths off them. I think he's ready to go first up, but he just, in a hard race, he represents that touch of value. Race 10, number five, Lord Olympus.
In the George Main, she's into $1.90 now, very elegant. What price should she be, Ryan, and do you have her on top?
I've got her on top. I think when I was tipping her yesterday, I thought she'll be better than $2.30. I was nearly fell off the chair when she was $1.90.
Yeah.
She'll get back to black odds. If we're about a good four track, which I don't know, it might happen, I would have had Hungry Heart on top here. Just with the soft track, I lent Very Elegant's way, because obviously Hungry Heart's best form's been on top of the ground. So if we happen to get to a five in the morning and close to a four by race seven, well, I'll be backing Hungry Heart, but I'm tipping Very Elegant.
So Very Elegant there in the George Main, but maybe Hungry Heart, just wait for those track conditions. And she's a big price, isn't she, really, Ron? She's like $14 at the moment. So I would imagine she wouldn't start that price.
No. I can see her starting $7 if the track's okay.
What about in the shorts? Of course, everybody's talking about this clash. Some wonderful sprinters going around. We saw how good Mask Crusader was here at Caulfield the other day when he won first up. Nature Strip's a solid favourite at 240. How have you assessed this contest?
I think he's hard to beat. You know, things fell into place for him first up, but he was at his brilliant best. He's trouble-free. He's had niggling things go wrong with him each preparation, but, boy, he looked a happy horse. He looked a more complete product there and relaxing a little bit better. So he's drawn inside the other speed. I don't think this being, well, it's hard to say it's a semi-final looking at the field, but it is. I don't think anyone would be game to take him on first up and gun him because they'll gut themselves. So I'm going his way, Nature Strip.
Yep, 240. And just the last one before we let you go, race number five, the Bill Ritchie handicap, Group 3 over the 1,400 metres. It's a wide-open affair with Harmony Rose, the favourite at 380. Ronnie, how have you assessed this contest?
I think it's the three favourites. I think I like a tissue because I like Chris Waller's scratched from a race she would have won. So that tells me he thinks she's a live wire Epsom chance and trying to sneak her in the field with a lightweight here. And look, just forget she went round last start. She just went far too, way too far back from that wide draw. It's a different situation here. In saying that, Private Eye sets up well. Harmony Rose has got a bit of quality about her. I'll leave that to the punters to sort which one they like, but I think they're the three with a slight leaning to a tissue.
Can Rock do it again in the Cameron Handicap? And have you got a tip for us in the Newcastle Gold Cup today, Ronnie?
I'm not sure about the Cameron. The Cup, I was thinking Luncey's has been set up for the Cup by Chris Lees. And although if it stays a soft six, the horse of Murray Baker's Quick Thinker might do something.
Yep. Rory Hutchings takes the ride there. As always, Ronnie, it's a pleasure catching up. Good luck, mate. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Ronnie Duffercy there. Let's hear what Gordon Richards has to say about Guitra's chances in the short, which is race eight there at Randwick.
We've had a bit of rain at Randwick. We got a bit of rain again last night, not a lot. But I'm tipping it'll only be five at worst, probably better. So, I mean, it doesn't worry him. He won the Yes, Yes, Yes. I think that was a nine or something then, and he won that running away. I'd just like a wet track, you know. Four or five would be fantastic.
So that was yesterday, $12 into $9. I know there's been a scratching, but he's been well supported, Guitra. And Jamie Richards has got a couple of nice chances around the country tomorrow. We heard him talk about Probabil and the Sir Rupert Clark. Amaralina goes around for his stable in the Bill Ritchie, which is race five there at Randwick.
I know that she stayed a mile and a half as a three-year-old, but I doubt whether that's her optimum trip. I'd say she's a mile to 2,000. And, you know, I do believe she can sprint well fresh up. I think she's a little bit over the odds as well.
So that's Jamie Richards there talking about his chances, especially Emerlina. It's a good each-way price there in the Bill Ritchie. Nadia Horn joins us to preview this card at Morpheville tomorrow. Hello to you, Nadia.
Hello, Gareth.
I am very well. Where do we start with your favourites? Of course, the Wiley Handicap's the feature at listed level.
Yeah, look, I'll kick off in race three. It's going to be short, but I do think number 12, Bally Mora, is clearly the one to beat. Now, she's a filly who resumes the field stakes, and she's drawn favourably down in gate three. She's clearly the best performed horse in the race. We've seen that through what she was able to do at listed level, only beaten three lengths and without fear last preparation, and she rated to a good level on that occasion. She's come back well, she's trialled up well, and she does look what one of the better bets on the program, race three, number 12. The other horse I like comes up in race four. I did think that number six, Larkin, was worthy of really strong thought in this race. First up from a break, it was a good run. He'll take good benefit out of it. He gets to a really good position in the run tactically. Look, he's going to be handy. And he's big that he ran to Larkin in race
four. Go the dogs.
So that's Larkin in race four, number six. And the other horse I like actually does come up in the Wiley and Ray race. I do think that Terbium is actually the one to beat. Now, Terbium ran to an enormous figure first up when winning last preparation, gets to a position just off speed. I'd actually have him favourite in front of Kennel Pastor, and there has been really good money to suggest in early markets that he's the one to beat. So I'd say that the stable has set him for this race first up, and he's one I'm quite keen on. So the three horses we like, race 3, the 12, race 4, the 6, and race 8, the 7, and
I've been
attend to the animals.
You're a star, Nadia. Thanks for that. Well done.
Thank you. See you,
bye. Pete Antonis joins us to preview Belmont on a Saturday afternoon across there in Western Australia. Hello to you, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth.
Where do we start with your specials?
Look, we'll start in race 6. Campese's gone up favourite once again, which is just the people trying to inflict self-torture on themselves once more, I'm sure. But look, although that horse wasn't suited, I was pretty taken with the trial of Image Keeper for Brock Luthwaite. Mitchie Pateman's taking the ride here, and from gate four, he should be able to get out in front and just dictate this. There's no real other tempo in the race. Look, we don't exactly know how Belmont will play, and look, there has been distinct bias the last four meetings, but Rail 6 metres is one of the more even pads that you can get there at Belmont. So hopefully, even though the track's on its last legs for this season, can just hold on once more and just give us a fair track. But either way, I think Image Keeper should be able to get things to itself. And $4.60 is a great price. I've got it marked closer to around $3.70, $3.80 or so. So we'll start off in race 6 there with number 2, Image Keeper.
It's nearly a time when you're punting on WA Racing, and hopefully they're not listening over there in the West, but it's just like take a couple of days off, especially this week over in the West. The last 2 weeks at Belmont or Ascot towards the back end of the season, they just go for far too long. And I think finally, in 2021, they have come to their senses, Pete, and they will be using both tracks during summer and winter, which is just common sense. Hallelujah. About time that they use their, like, it's just in today's world, it's nearly unforgivable, but finally they've worked it all out.
Look, I'm still a little bit apprehensive about what will happen over summer. Obviously, we've lost Chris Nation to Newcastle over the past couple of months. So, look, hopefully the team in charge of the track can do their best with Belmont. I'm a little bit apprehensive because it might become a very on-speed dominated highway with a bit of summer. I'm not sure, it's a guess at this stage. But look, we'll go to race 7. And I think if this is an even track, I'm pretty keen on Son of a God here. Look, first up, it looked like me, Gareth, in the yard. It was hairy, it was unfit. And then second up, it's trimmed up nicely. The coat was good. It looks ready to peak third up. And it gets a good gate for Chris Parnham from 2. He can basically put the horse where he wants it. I just think there's a few holes in this market. I see red. I think we'll be ridden a little bit more conservatively. Charlton Eddy just hasn't produced the same figures over 1,200 versus 1,000, and there have been a couple of preps away since he's shown his best. So I'll be playing Son of a God, and I have to have something on Crystal Spirit if it's a fair track. That is a big if. So that horse is just absolutely flying. We almost saw it knock off Captain Chaos last start, and that's pretty decent. Captain Chaos goes around $1.90 early in the program. So, look, it's a good card, Gareth, but like I said, we'll be waiting to play in the second half more than the first half of the card, that's for sure.
So keen on Son of God and maybe save on Crystal Spirit if the track is even.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, Pete, enjoy Belmont. Appreciate that.
Go well, Gareth.
There's Pete Antonis there. Ballarat tomorrow night, a brilliant meeting with the Trots. Trying to find some value here. It's a little difficult. That first race is tough. So we'll stay out of there. I think there's a few chances. Let's Rock and Roll's the best horse in the race, but outside that second row draw around Ballarat when you're coming wide on that final bend is never easy. Race two is a difficult contest for the trotters. The favourite's too short because it will get crossed from gate number one. Maybe you could play a horse by the name of Zigzag Zoo that looks like at the early leader each way, $5 and $1.80. Muscle Bart looks tough to beat. I have it rolling to the front. It's into $1.75 and looks tough to beat. Race four, Ladies in Red will be winning. Takes on Tough Tilly, but because of the draw and the advantage there, she should lead and be hard to beat. Mac Dan's into $2. We got that good push from Emma Stewart yesterday. In fact, we might hear from Emma Stewart regarding Mac Dan because he's $2.60 into $2. He's a horse that maybe you should have something on now for the Victoria Cup.
Sort of one of those horses that flies under the radar because he's plain, he sort of just goes about his business and he's a little bit like Ladies in Red, you know, they just get the job done. So, yeah, definitely I think he's a horse that, you know, given the right draw and the right run, can win a race like that. And I think he's definitely stepped up again this time in.
He should be winning then Saturday night?
Yeah, I think he should be, yep.
So that's race five, number nine, Mac Dent. Going back to that fillies contest, Ladies in Red over Tough Tilly, this is what Emma had to say about their chances Saturday night.
Ladies in Red's also had one run back. You know, I think that's a plus for her as well because, you know, she sort of takes a little bit. She doesn't work all that great here. So when she goes to the race, she sort of tightens up pretty quick. So, yeah, like the draw definitely does play a factor, but I think the one run back is more of a factor.
So there we go. Ladies in red into Mac Dan and all up there. You get around $2.30 for that all up. In race number six, I think About Time will be tough to beat. Spring in his step, the only danger there. And then race seven is a tough race to sort out. There's a host of chances there. Maybe Yarny at an each-way price, $17. Just needs a touch of luck from that draw. And race number eight for the mares is a difficult race to assess. Dan Malecki didn't mind Diamond Party at an each-way price. I'm tipping Strew for $4. You can't put your last on it, but I think he probably gets out a little bit as well. At his best, he'll go very close to winning that. So that's the story. And So What is a tip there from Dan Malecki at $5.50 tomorrow in that last race. Lance Justice and Karen Manning combining there. George Farrugia joins us here as part of the Metro Form Express looking at the Meadows on a Saturday twilight. Hello to you, George.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. Where do we make some money there at the Meadows?
Yeah, there's three that we like, Gareth. Race one, number one, Sunstruck. If you recall, we tipped it in the maiden heat last Wednesday, and it got into all sorts of trouble. It missed the start. It didn't do itself any favours, but it's drawn box one again, and we're happy to have another crack here, race one, number one. The other one is Jack's Bale, Gareth, race four, number two. He's just racing so well at the moment. He's going to be very, very hard to beat. It's a race that he's certainly capable of winning. There's a couple of good ones against him, but he's drawn well. And as I said, this is a greyhound that just runs on the streaks. When he's in good form, he usually continues it for a little while. And later in the program, race 10, number 7, Thunder Tears, I think he gets his opportunity to win despite the draw. A couple of runs more recently, he's really been knocking on the door. So race 10, number 7. Quaddy numbers, make sure you check your scratchings. 1, 3, 6 and 8 into 1, 3 and 4. Into 1, 2, and 3, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
So it's a good meeting now. I'm looking forward to seeing Quara Bale at $1.70. She's nice and short. She takes on greyhounds of the quality of Hilltop Jack, who was a Group 1 finalist recently. Abolero Bale at $6.50 for the inform Mark Delbridge camp, and Tyler Durden for Jeff Britton, who's got plenty of talent at $9. But she probably leads and wins there, I would imagine. Hilltop Jack, if he's close enough, will make the finish interesting anyway, Georgie.
Yeah, especially on his run recently, Gareth. He went 34.07 at Sandown, was really impressive win. Look, she's had a run of outs in her last couple for the first time in a long time, Quara Bale, hasn't she? She's the queen, and look, she'll be hard to beat at her best. I think Tyler Durden is fairly good odds too. We know his ability. I think if she can begin and keep clear, it looks like she's got enough speed to burn a couple of those off going around her, and that's probably all important for her going forward. So probably about 6 weeks ago, Gareth, she would have been $1.40 in that race. So you're getting a little bit better value, I guess, just based on her last couple of runs.
Can bitches lose form a little bit once they've been flying like she has? Do you have to be careful there?
Yeah, they can, but yeah. I suppose dogs can lose form as well. Yeah, you know, they both. So, but she's just been knocked around a little bit, I suppose. She didn't look at her best on that match race either, did she, Gareth? So, look, you know, we might be talking about her again in 2 months where she's red-hot flying. Dean Daly certainly wouldn't put her around if they didn't think she was ready to go. So that should give you enough confidence if you want.
What about Gypsy Y on your girl? She won again there over the 715 metres at Sandown last night. Just having a look at the other feature race winners, the RSN Central. Contest race 6, Fernando Frank was too strong for David Knocker. So, geez, Gypsy Wyong's a star, isn't she? She just keeps on winning, Georgie, over the staying trips.
Yes, and if you watch the replay, Gareth, she was challenged. Oh, pardon me, the whole way around, and did a really, really good job winning in 41.94. She's an absolute star. And look, going forward, Gareth, the way she races, she's got good speed. She might have a little bit of a flat spot, but gets to the line well. I think there's another group race in here for sure. She's an absolute gun.
There's a couple of dogs there looking towards some of the bigger races. You got Paddy Wants Pats that won nicely at 350 and also got a lot of time. We all know how good Fernando Bluey is for Kayla Cottrell. Had a double there at Shepparton when we're on air. And then she was too good there at Sandown on Saturday or Thursday night with Fernando Bluey. What about the news regarding the Melbourne Cup, Georgie? 500 odd thousand to the winner now. So the prize money's gone up 21%. Geez, it's a good time to own a superstar greyhound with the Phoenix. You've got the Melbourne Cup, the Million Dollar Chase. There'll be two runnings of that next year.
Well, as silly as it sounds, Gareth, probably 5 or 6 years ago, we were saying how exciting it is for a greyhound to win $1 million. And, you know, Fernando Bale being that greyhound to crack it for the first time, you could envisage a greyhound winning $2 million. It's as silly as it sounds. I mean, the prize money just continues to rise and a fantastic job by Sandown to get it to 500K. So now we've got three races, Gareth, where they're over $500,000 in prize money and one worth $1 million. And as you said, that's going to be raced twice next year. So it's incredible, mate. And we'll have a little bit more news about the Phoenix as well with WA, I believe, just outlining exactly how you can get a spot in the race.
I think it's a match race in the end, so you've got to run in those lead-up races. In the end, I think they work down to a match race. So that's the story there. I don't know if they get too much representation from Victorians because they'll have to be there nice and early. So time will tell, but plenty of options for greyhound trainers and owners to win some nice prize money with their dogs. Georgie, thanks for that, mate.
No worries, mate. Have a good one.